The Sportscast, January 5th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, listen to us on online digital radio. You can listen to us on the Alexa app. So if you go to Alexa and you download or enable the skill, the Sportscast, you can play it on your Alexa because a lot of you guys are Amazon fans. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast1. A lot happening. Tonight's the Heisman Trophy presentation, so we'll be live tweeting. And, of course, Riley and Constant will be live during during the presentation. Looks like it's Devontae Smith, but I'm no college football expert. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net. Everything that we say on this microphone is on that website. And, of course, visit us on get the app. It's free on the iOS App Store. Get the notifications. Sometimes it's pushed out at 5 in the morning so you guys can wake up. This week has been Black Monday for the NFL, and the Jacksonville Jaguars fired their coach, a guy named Doug Marrone, one of the old guard of the Jaguars. And, of course, a lot of rumors of who's going to be the next coach. And, of course, there's one little minor thing they have is a number one draft pick, so they got something to play around with, whoever is the new coach. Jordan DeLugo from Generation Jaguar is joining us today, this morning. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always a good time chatting some sports with you.
Jordan, it's always great to having you. Of course, you are a Jaguar expert. You might be the number one Twitter guy in Jacksonville when it comes to the Jaguars.
Well, I appreciate that. There's a lot of good people covering the team, that's for sure.
Exactly. Well, let's get on to the news. Of course, yesterday, Doug Marrone was fired, parted ways. I don't know if I saw it coming. You might have saw it coming. But, Jordan, tell us what led up to this firing.
Well, you look at his first year as head coach back in 2017, started off with a bang, made it all the way to the AFC Championship. But then you see relationships start to splinter. Tom Coughlin starts alienating some players. They're trying to get out of there. Everything pretty much goes downhill. And, of course, the Jaguars have not identified a franchise quarterback, and that was probably the biggest issue in Doug Marrone's tenure. I do think he did a good job staying honest with the media, keeping his team together, but overall it just wasn't good enough. Obviously, when you have a franchise worst 1-15 record in your fourth season as head coach, it's going to be time to move on, no matter how well respected you are in the building. And that's exactly what happened with the Jaguars this year. He just didn't stand a chance. When you go 1-15, coming off of two disappointing seasons, I mean, it's been three straight losing seasons after that AFC Championship appearance. So it's just, it's not going to last long. You know, the old adage, not for long, the NFL, not for long. So it was just an avalanche in Jacksonville this year, and Doug Marrone couldn't survive it.
Now, Doug Marrone comes from like the Coughlin tenure, right? And of course, he got fired 2 years, probably 2 years ago.
What? Coughlin was last offseason.
Last offseason. So he,
or maybe at the tail end of the season. It was right after the NFLPA came out and basically blasted Tom Coughlin for fining Dante Fowler in excess of $700,000 when he had no basis to do so. And all sorts of other player relations issues that Coughlin had. But yeah, Marrone was a Coughlin guy, but Marrone was actually in Jacksonville before Coughlin as the offensive line coach for a couple years with Gus Bradley. So yeah.
Something to for sure definitely look at. Of course, there was no, you know, Marrone wasn't tanking on purpose. Of course, Jacksonville had the worst record this past season. He didn't do it on purpose to get the draft pick. I think the Jaguars were going to move on. Move on from him no matter what happened.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say no matter what happened. If he was able to get this team playing good football, they might have kept him around. But yeah, I don't think that he was in on the tank job at all. I do think he just wasn't good enough this year, and the team wasn't good enough. You didn't get good enough play from the quarterback position. You had a defense that was just filled with youth, and injury-riddled defense. You know, you saw C.J. Henderson go down, the first-round pick. He missed a lot of the season. Josh Allen, the number one pass rusher, missed a lot of the season. Devon Hamilton, the best defensive tackle, the interior defender, he missed a lot of the season. Miles Jack missed some time. So it was just really rough all around on the defensive side of the ball. And it was just too much for Doug Marrone to overcome. And he did have some issues of his own this year. I believe trading Ronnie Harrison for a fifth-round pick, that was a big mistake. He goes to Cleveland and balls out for the Browns back in their secondary. And then you look at some of the other in-game decisions and how he handled the Gardner Minshew situation. I don't think he did a great job on a lot of fronts this year as the Jaguars coach. I do think he did his best, and it just wasn't good enough.
Saad Khan, who is the team owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, issued a statement that was kind of trending in on Twitter. He said, "I am committed and determined to deliver winning football to the city of Jacksonville. Realizing that goal requires a fresh start throughout our football operations. And with that in mind, I spoke this morning with Doug Marrone to express my gratitude for his hard work over the past four seasons as a head coach of Jacksonville Jaguars." Marrone had one more year remaining. Now, of course, the rumors started to swirl, and one name that really stood out is Urban Meyer, who's asking for $12 million. There's also a guy named Coach Mullen, Dan Mullen, which Jordan is very familiar with. He's also interested in the NFL. But Urban Meyer is the number one choice in the rumor mill. Jordan, what have you heard, and is Urban Meyer the man?
It looks like Urban's the guy. Of course, Shad Khan denied the rumors yesterday. Obviously, rumors came out over the weekend that Urban Meyer and the Jaguars were already chatting it up, and Urban basically expected to land the Jaguars' job. Shad Khan denied those rumors, but there is no denying that Shad Khan and Urban Meyer have a relationship from the Big Ten. Shad Khan, of course, went to Illinois and is a big proponent of the Big Ten, so they have a relationship already in place prior to this opening. So I would say he's the guy. I mean, he's got all the clout in the world, 187-32 as a college coach, three national championships. Always gets the most out of his quarterbacks, has worked with a lot of good ones, has made a lot of average ones look very good. He's won everywhere he's been, and he's a guy that has relationships in the league with guys like Bill Belichick and other successful coaches. I think it's easy to say he's the front runner at this point, and it might also be easy to say that not only is he the front runner, but he's probably the only guy that has a realistic chance at this point. If he wants the job, I believe it's his.
Now, do you, Jordan, think he's the perfect fit in Jacksonville?
Well, I don't think there is a perfect fit when you look at any of these guys. There's always certain question marks that each coach comes with. You know, with Urban, it's his health. Obviously, he's retired from the last two programs due to health. He's also had all sorts of issues with maybe handling situations, PR situations, not the best. He had the Zach Smith situation where he had one of his assistant coaches having the domestic abuse situation going on, and he wasn't exactly forthright about that. And then all the issues at Florida with the arrests with Aaron Hernandez. So you've got that. Some people might question Meyer's integrity. But when it comes to football and building a culture and a team that's going to win football games, I don't think you can do any better than Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer, last coach for Ohio State. Jordan, you know, coming into this Jaguar team is looking good. Whoever takes that role, they're looking at a number one draft pick, most likely Trevor Lawrence, as you mentioned previously, that they need a quarterback. And of course, they got a guy named DJ Shark, great receiver. Obviously, we're not going to expect them to win the Super Bowl the first season, but what other pieces do you think the coach has to take care of to get this team back into action?
There's a lot. I think you could definitely improve the offensive line, which the offensive line was not terrible by any stretch. I think they did a decent job. Jawan Taylor, the second-year right tackle, he did not progress. In fact, he gave up the most pressures in football, which is obviously a concern. Left tackle Cam Robinson is set to be a free agent. Do you re-sign him, or maybe do you go for a big fish like Trent Williams, try to bring in an elite left tackle to protect your rookie quarterback? You've got a hole in the interior of the defensive line next to Devon Hamilton. I think you want to get a guy that can really push the pocket, create some pressure. I think you need more depth at cornerback because C.J. Henderson is oft injured, and so is Sidney Jones. And Sidney Jones did play very well for the Jaguars this year at cornerback, but he got injured a lot. He's had Achilles injuries, and he's a free agent, so the Jaguars don't even know if he'll be back. I think you need another safety, at least one more safety. Next to Jared Wilson this year, it was not pretty. Josh Jones really struggled. And again, that's an issue that Doug Marrone created himself by getting rid of Ronnie Harrison. So, yeah, I think those, when you look at that stuff, those are the big positions of need. I think when you talk about helping a rookie quarterback, though, you can always add more offensive weapons at wide receiver, at tight end. The Jaguars have a good wide receiver group. Could it be better? Sure. You could get another elite receiver to pair with DJ Chark, have LaVisca Chenault in the slot. And then at tight end, Tyler Eifert's been all right. He's made some nice plays this year. James O'Shaughnessy is a consistent, steady Eddie type of guy. Josh Oliver is a guy they drafted 2 years ago. He's barely been able to get on the field due to injuries, but he's a very athletic guy that you would think could push the seam and stretch the seam. But, yeah, I would look at wide receiver and tight end as well, not necessarily as needs, but more as if you're going to get your rookie quarterback playing as good as he possibly can, you probably want to add something there.
Also, Jaguars are also searching for a GM as well. Yep. You know, GM is a very important position in the front office. Do you think they need to hire that first and then the coach, or what do you think should be the order?
So the way it's going to work now in Jacksonville is the head coach and the general manager are both going to report directly to Shad Khan. It's not like the head coach is going to be working for the GM and then the GM is going to report to Khan or vice versa. They will have equal power, it sounds like, and equal responsibility. Obviously not the same exact responsibilities. The GM will be the roster builder and the coach will obviously be more X's and O's. But they'll all play a part in that and they'll report directly to Shad Khan. So I think they need to be hired right around the same time, which is exactly what Shad Khan suggested yesterday, is that the head coach and GM will come in right about the same time, ideally.
I've been hearing rumors that it might be the former Browns GM, Ray Farmer. Who do you think will get that position?
I don't know who will get it. There's a lot of guys that the Jaguars have looked at already. Ray Farmer is the latest name to come out, obviously. But there's a long list of guys the Jaguars have been connected to this point. Because they did fire Dave Caldwell several weeks ago, they were able to go ahead and start interviewing some guys. Jerry Reese, the former Giants general manager, who won two Super Bowls, beating the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl, drafted a lot of good defensive players, some nice offensive players as well. Rick Smith, the former Texans GM, his list of first-round picks that hit is awesome. You got J.J. Watt. He went and got Deshaun Watson. That was his move. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. You've got Will Fuller. You've got Whitney Merciless, Jadeveon Clowney, the list goes on and on. Dwayne Brown. He's a guy that's done a lot in the league. And he really only got fired from Houston because there was a power struggle between him and Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien wanted out. And you see what's happened to the Texans since Rick Smith's departure. They've really fallen apart there. Trent Baalke, they interviewed. He's their interim GM, former 49ers GM. He was the Jaguars' pro personnel guy this year. And he's a guy that he's had some hits as well. He drafted Colin Kaepernick, Aldon Smith, DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, some of these guys. So he's an interesting name. I don't think he would be a leading candidate. And they've also interviewed Louis Riddick, who's a hot guy from the television world, obviously. But he has a football background, played in the NFL. Did a lot of pro personnel stuff for teams around the league. He's been at ESPN for about 7 years. So when you look at all those guys, and then Ray Farmer, of course, from the Browns, it's been interesting to see the list of guys that they've gotten to interview, but for me, I'd be looking at Rick Smith. I think he has the cleanest record in terms of just always hitting on first round picks, and that's how you build a franchise. Winning in the first round is the most important thing you can do, and he is a very likable guy. All his former colleagues outside of Bill O'Brien, which no one likes Bill O'Brien at this point, but all of his other former colleagues always go to bat for him. So he's a very likable guy with a really nice track record. And he's recently done it at quarterback with Deshaun Watson.
Interesting. Well, you have your pick for GM, so that's hopefully something will come up. Of course, that team is just very sexy right now. Like, there's a lot of potential in it, and it feels like the rebuild looks promising. Your college football team, Florida Gators, coach Dan Mullen is rumored that he wants to go to the NFL. Should he go to the NFL, and where do you think he should go?
I'm not sure that he should go to the NFL. I think he's a college guy through and through. Could be wrong, but to me, he comes off a bit whiny a lot of times. I don't think that's going to fly in the NFL. I don't know. I mean, it would be really interesting to see him go to the NFL if he was able to get to a team that has a quarterback that can run his type of system and have some talent. But I've read recently, last night, that there's more smoke to that. It's just Mullen trying to get more power within the Gators' power structure and make more money. So I really don't know what's going on with that. I don't cover the Gators. I am a Gator fan. I do pay close attention to it. But, I don't know how that's all going to play out. I think for the Gators program, Dan Mullen is the best guy for the job right now. He's done a good job getting them back to relevance after Muschamp and McElwain really just sent the program into a free fall for several years. So he's best for the Gators right now, or the Gators best for him. I guess that's up for him to decide. And I don't think he would be among the top guys that NFL teams are looking for right now. I do think, you know, maybe there's some interest, but I'm not sure he would be one of the top guys.
Yeah, when I heard that rumors, I was like, it feels like he's in the middle. With Florida, he's like in the middle of a project. You know, it feels like he still has more to go and just see where this Florida Gators, because, you know, like, there are contenders, you know, in the SEC. So hopefully, I think he should stay. But of course, money talks, and maybe he's bluffing. Maybe he wants to get a bigger contract or something. I don't know. I'm just making up stuff.
I did read that. Read that there's talk out there about him potentially just wanting more money.
Well, which Florida, I'm sure they can afford.
Sure, definitely.
Anyways, NFL wild card begins this weekend. More teams. Looking at the schedule, it's going to be a full pack weekend. Let's go over into the games, and we'll see what Jordan thinks of what's going to happen this weekend. First matchup, Colts at the Bills. Jordan, what do you think is going to happen there?
Colts at Bills. I think the Bills are going to take care of business. I think the Colts are dangerous. I think they've got an excellent running game. Jonathan Taylor is rushing out of his mind right now, the rookie running back, now that they've really got him going. And then you look at their defense. They've had one of the best defenses in football this year. DeForest Buckner in the middle. You got Justin Houston, a couple other guys coming off the edge. Darius Leonard, and their secondary is playing a lot better. So the Colts are by no means a gimme against the Bills for the Bills. But when you look at the Bills, what they're doing with Josh Allen, with those receivers, with that defense, the culture they've built, I think Josh Allen is going to just be too much for the Colts to overcome.
Yeah, I think the Bills definitely have that matchup, but we'll see. It is played in Buffalo, so it does help out the Bills a bit. The NFC Rams go to the Seahawks. What do you think about that matchup?
Love that matchup. You know, division rivalry. As a Jaguars fan and someone who covers the Jaguars, I'm looking for the Rams to lose that game because the Jaguars have the Rams' first-round pick. Now, outside of that, you know, not on a Jaguars bias, I think I still think the Seahawks are the team to look for in that one. I think Russell Wilson is significantly better than whatever the Rams will be able to trot out at quarterback. Looks like Jared Goff might not be able to play. I'll definitely take the Seahawks in that one. I think with Russell Wilson, DK, all those guys, they're just too much. And then their defense has stars. They might not be the defense they once were, but with Bobby Wagner in the middle, Jamal Adams creating havoc in the backfield and all over the field, I'll take the Seahawks.
Yeah, the Rams are dealing with injuries, including Jared Goff. So I think the Seahawks definitely have the advantage. And, of course, playing in Seattle. The other game that day, later that night, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Washington football team. Tom Brady's first NFC playoff game. Jordan, what are your thoughts?
This is probably the only season that I've ever just been really pissed about having to have one division get into the playoffs, and that's the NFC East, of course. The Redskins are a great story. Got Ron Rivera battling through cancer, coming back and leading his team, and Alex Smith, of course, who battled back from just horrific leg injury and infection, almost lost his leg, all that stuff. Great story, but not a great football team. I think the Buccaneers roll the Redskins.
You think
I say Redskins, football team. But the football team does have an impressive defensive line. Gotta love what that young defensive line is doing, but I don't think it's enough.
Chase Young, definitely a monster. With the Bucs, without Mike Evans, you don't think they have an issue there?
They got Antonio Brown, you know? I mean, and Chris Godwin, of course.
They got a lot of backup, man. They're deep.
You know, if they didn't get Antonio Brown, you know, maybe it's an issue, but...
yeah, you're right.
Not against the football team, but maybe down the road in the playoffs. So I think they'll be locked and loaded on offense. I think Tom Brady's rolling. I think they'll be good to go.
And they have my boy, Scotty Miller.
Of course.
First,
can't forget about Scotty.
You can't forget him. Sunday, first game, the Baltimore Ravens at Tennessee Titans, a rematch, but this time the game is in Tennessee. Jordan, I know you're a big Derrick Henry fan. What's going to happen?
Am I a big Derrick Henry fan?
I'm making it up right now.
He is from right outside of Jacksonville, so I do have an affiliation with that. But, yeah, this is an interesting one. Like you said, the Titans beat the Ravens in the playoffs last year. What Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith and all those guys in Tennessee have been able to do with Ryan Tannehill has been just – awesome to see. Obviously for you it might hurt a little bit being down there in
it's
South
so
Florida.
Weird to see Tannehill being so good. It's weird. Ugh.
Yeah, but they've got that play action game. They've got Derrick Henry getting to the outside and just rolling defensive backs. They can't stop him. It's gonna be crazy. You know, on the other side you've got Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson has not been good in big games. He has not won in the playoffs. So for me, I'm going to take the Titans again. I think Mike Vrabel's doing a hell of a job there. I don't like Mike Vrabel. I didn't think he was a good hire, but he's proven me wrong. And I just think the Titans at home with that running game, with their defense playing the way it is, I think they're going to be able to take down the Ravens again.
It kind of feels like the Ravens have less pressure this year, but I still think the Titans are going to win that matchup. I think Titans have a good opportunity, but of course they got to go through the Chiefs if they go deep. Chicago Bears surprisingly made the playoffs, and they're going to face the New Orleans Saints. Jordan, who you got for that matchup?
I'll definitely take the Saints. They don't lose in the Superdome often. You know, the Bears were very hot for a few weeks, and then I think Trubisky kind of cooled off last week. I think he's fool's gold. I think he kind of reminds me of what Blake Bortles did in the 2017 season and went and got his new contract after that. I don't really care what happens to the Bears, but for Bears fans' sake, I hope that the Bears do not pull the same stunt that the Jaguars did by extending Trubisky next year. So yeah, I'm definitely going to take the Saints. I think Trubisky's fool's gold, and you got to like what the Saints have going on. Their defense is special. Their Their offense is special with Alvin Kamara. Drew Brees is usually still pretty good. Michael Thomas, all those guys. It's a fun Saints team. And it's just crazy that they've been ousted by the Vikings 2 years in a row. They don't have that opportunity this year. Obviously, the Vikings won't be able to take on the Saints in the playoffs. I don't think the Bears are going to go into New Orleans and take down the Saints.
Tough situation there. We'll see what happens. I really do think it will be the Saints. Drew Brees is probably not 100%, but I think he'll make it happen. Last game of the weekend, Cleveland Browns at the Steelers. This could be an upset by the Browns, Jordan. Who do you got?
I'll take the Steelers. It's definitely an interesting one because the Browns seem to be playing a little better than the Steelers do as a whole right now. But Big Ben, Mike Tomlin, you've got all those receiving weapons. You've got such a ferocious defensive front. And you've got the experience. The Browns have not been here in so long. They have not been in this position. I think the Steelers will get the job done against the Browns. I'm not sure how much farther they'll get after week one, but I do think they'll take care of the Browns.
Hey, making it to the playoffs is a big, big achievement for the Browns. Congratulations to them. And they're doing it with that OBJ, so that's something that's a lot to talk about. And what will be your Super Bowl matchup as of today?
Chiefs. I still think they're the team to beat in the AFC. A lot of people have kind of shifted towards Buffalo, thinking the Bills are the team to beat. I still think Pat Mahomes is a lot better than Josh Allen. I just do. Josh Allen kind of took the league by storm this year. I think he's an excellent story. I think he's an excellent quarterback. He's grown so much since his days at Wyoming, since his first year in the league, since last year, really. I mean, you saw him go into the playoff game and just not look very impressive last year, pretty inaccurate at times, but this year he's really turned it on. A legitimate MVP candidate. I don't think he is the MVP, but he's certainly among the best players in the league this year. But I just still think Mahomes is on a different level. You got Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all those guys. I think it's too much.
And who's your NFC?
I didn't do my NFC. So yeah, Chiefs, AFC. NFC, I got to go with Rodgers. He's on a different planet, different plane this year. Just incredible what he's able to do seemingly effortlessly every week with that offense. And Devontae Adams is just one of the best receivers in football, bar none. And their defense is playing very well.
Yeah.
So I think you got to go with the Packers in the NFC.
And I was going to ask you, who are your, like, which two teams from each conference is like that dark horse that could sneak in?
Yeah, I don't think you can call the Bills a dark horse because a lot of people are picking them. I would say the Titans in the AFC. I don't think many people would pick them to go all the way, but the way they're built, the way Derrick Henry is such an advantage against any defense pretty much that he faces, got 2,000 rushing yards this year, just so difficult to stop. I would say the Titans would be my dark horse on that side. And in the NFC, who all do we got here? I mean, I guess you could definitely say the Seahawks, although they're a perennial playoff team. They're always there, but they're definitely not expected to make it all the way this year. When you got Russell Wilson throwing the ball back there, got a talented offense, got those talented defenders I mentioned earlier, I could see Seattle making a run.
I think the Bucs from the NFC could sneak in.
Certainly. They're playing good football right now. They were inconsistent for a lot of the year, but Brady, it's Brady time right now.
It is.
Is Brady going to give us a vintage Tom Brady playoff run? Because for many years with the Patriots, you know, they would kind of flounder around for the first half of the season, first three quarters of the season, then get really hot heading into the playoffs and just smoke everyone. Can he do it again? Can 43-year-old Tom Brady do it again?
Definitely a tougher test in the NFC compared to the AFC, which he has done before in the past 20 years. And
I don't know. I think the AFC is just as good as the NFC this year, if not better.
True.
I do think in the past handful of seasons prior to this year that the NFC was certainly tougher, but the AFC has come a long way with the Chiefs, the Bills, Titans playing great football, Ravens, Steelers, all those teams are impressive.
And I forgot to mention the Bears and Saints game will be showing on Nickelodeon as well.
Right. Yeah, they're going to introduce the young kids to some NFL football with SpongeBob is going to be
correct.
Part of that whole deal.
I will try to see that. I will definitely turn into that because I think it's a not one time, but they're going to test it out this weekend. So it's Saturday at 4 o'clock. So if you guys want to watch a Nickelodeon and make things interesting, definitely consider it. And also it's on Amazon Prime Video. So there's going to be a lot of outlets for that. And of course the Browns and Steelers will be on NBC and also on Peacock. So definitely you have some avenues to look at. Tonight is the Heisman Jordan, the finalists. Well, like the poll on our Twitter is Devontae Smith, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, and Kyle Trask. Who will win the Heisman Trophy tonight?
I think the favorite right now is Devontae Smith, but I'll just go with Mac Jones because he's a quarterback. He's from Jacksonville, went to the bowl school here. You know, it's a quarterback award just traditionally. Devontae Smith, I do think, is very deserving, but Mac Jones has had a hell of a season. He's in the national championship, throwing the ball all over the field for Bama, and obviously he's got tons of receiving talent to throw the ball to. But yeah, I'll just take the quarterback. I think of all the quarterbacks, he's the most deserving. I know Kyle Trask had an awesome season, but that last game was a real bummer, and obviously the Gators have lost several games this year, so I'll take the undefeated quarterback with the best stats.
Mac Jones, a Jacksonville native. Yep. Jordan gets, of course, goes with the home field. I think it'll be Devontae Smith, but
I couldn't argue with you there.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, bringing it up for debate's
and
sake, right?
Also, and Mac Jones, you know, his stock went up this past weekend. He had a heck of a game.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. So, Devontae Smith had a hell of a game, though, too.
True. They go hand in hand. They're handcuffed. What goes best with whipped cream, Jordan? Pie, ice cream, cake, or fruit?
Pie, ice cream, cake, or fruit. I guess I'll go with cheesecake specifically.
Okay. That counts under the cake category.
Yes.
And
but it's almost more like a pie, right?
True.
It's crazy.
It's a hybrid of a pie and a cake.
To be honest, I'm not a huge whipped cream guy.
Oh, that's why you struggle with that question.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. It's just like it doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Well, believe it or not, the SportsCast followers are picking fruit at 33%, and cake, ice cream, and pie are tied for 22%. Is it because our followers are really healthy, or is it because it's January and they got to eat healthy?
Yeah, let's just go with everybody's eating healthy because of the new year.
Well, fruit is very good, and you could go on our Twitter to vote on that. You got about like 13 hours, so definitely choose it. I think it's a win-win situation in all. I would choose ice cream. I don't know why. It just really goes well with it. I know it's ice cream's ice cream, but with whipped cream, it really tops it off. So definitely.
I don't think I've ever had whipped cream on ice cream.
You haven't? Wow.
I don't think so.
But you probably wouldn't because you don't like it.
I mean, I'm not against it. Like, you know, if I'm at a party and somebody's serving up cake or whatever and they throw whipped cream on there, I'm not against it at all. It's just kind of there for me, though.
You should try it this weekend and watch the Saints and the Bears.
I should. Some ice cream and some whipped cream.
And maybe some hot fudge and a cherry and make it a sundae.
All right. Let's do it.
Jordan, from Generation Jag, what is the best way to reach you and what is the latest article from your website?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jordan DeLugo, JordanDelugo. And on genjag.com, the latest article is about Shad Khan's press conference yesterday, how he's going to be taking a more hands-on approach in the next era of Jaguars football. Some people around town have called him an absentee owner. He certainly will not be that moving forward. And I'm also working on just putting together a head coach and GM candidate tracker, basically. It'll have a little bit of information about all the guys that are connected to the jobs for the Jaguars there.
That'll be good.
And that'll be out soon, and that's on genjag.com.
The number one job in the NFL is that Jaguars head coaching and possibly the GM as well. Trivia question, which Premier League team does Khan own as well?
Oh, that's easy. Fulham.
Okay, perfect. I just want to let. I just
come on.
You just
come on. Now.
I don't know. Some people don't even know that. And Jack, no, I don't know. Maybe not. That's pretty easy. Fulham America, the team that groomed Clint Dempsey. So we'll see if the future is bright in Jacksonville. Fulham is doing okay in the Premier League. I think they're doing okay. So hopefully that translates into the NFL, but you never know. Anyways, you can reach us at the Sportscast1 on Twitter or at thesportscast.net. You can download our app. We're also on Alexa. So if you want to get up, hey, Alexa, play Sportscast. It'll play it for you and things like that. This Sunday, we're having the big college football show with Nick Rizzetti, Ty Turner, Gerald Dixon, and Chris Caravello. They're going to preview the national championship, which is next Monday. And a lot going on in sports, playoffs, college football, Heisman, national championships. So definitely keep your ears tuned to us. And we got the latest and everything. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, whipped cream and all that. Anyways, Jordan, any closing words before we head out on this beautiful Tuesday in Florida?
Just appreciate you having me on. I'm starting to get a little sick of the cold weather, but, you know, it is what it is. And it is a beautiful day outside, though, so maybe it'll warm up a little bit.
It is good.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, at least one Florida team in the playoffs. We'll see Tom Brady and the Bucks, so that'll be cool. And my family, my wife's family, they're from Kansas City, so always going to be looking forward to those Chiefs games as well. So maybe I have a little bias picking them to make the Super Bowl.
Hey, it happens.
It's not a bad pick, is it?
It's a good time to be a Chiefs fan. So,
no doubt about
anyways,
it.
You have a good one, Jordan, and let's rock and roll.
All right. Have a good one, bud. Thanks for having me on.